Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. A man who brings uncommon intelligence, despite his tender years, I have to say, is Daniel Horowitz. He does this not just to matters involving the free world's challenges from overseas, but also those internal to the United States as well. Notably, as a senior editor at Conservative Review, where he writes his Conservative Consciousness column, he is a contributor to numerous other outlets as well, but has contributed particularly and powerfully, I think, through his recent book, Stolen Sovereignty, How to Stop Unelected Judges from Transforming America. Welcome back. It's good to have you as always.
Great to be back with you, Frank. And you know what? I don't feel so tender in age anymore. This is a tough business.
It's getting less and less tender all the time, I know. I do want to spend this segment talking with you about some of the writing and analysis you've been doing at Conservative Review, particularly about foreign affairs. And most immediately, the prospect that the Obama administration is once again maintaining seemingly its perfect record of getting it wrong on the Middle East. You talked about this in connection with the missile launches by a U.S. Navy vessel, I believe, day before yesterday now. But give us a flavor of what you think is going on in Yemen and more broadly.
You know, a big problem in the foreign policy realm is there's been about a decade or more than a decade without a coherent foreign policy on the right. There really hasn't been one. So, you know, everyone just knows what Obama is doing is wrong. And like you mentioned, I mean, if there's 10, 15 questions, different theaters of foreign policy, he will get every last one exactly wrong. But a lot of conservatives have looked upon this, well, are you an interventionist or are you an isolationist? And that's a meaningless term. It's all about the right type of intervention. Sometimes it's in our national interest. Sometimes it's downright against our national interest. And what Obama's been doing in his perfect record is refusing to confront the mano-a-mano challenges of our enemies against American interests. But yet he'll involve our troops in either direct action or arming and training Islamists involved in Islamic civil wars. So everyone says, we must do something about Syria. Something must be done. Well, I mean, in a utopia, we wouldn't have any war and bloodshed. And yeah, it's kind of terrible when innocent civilians get caught in a crossfire. But what are you supposed to do when you got Assad, Hezbollah, Russia, Iran, as the Islamic State, all sorts of...
Turkey, throw them in the mix.
All sorts of Al-Qaeda splinter groups, alumni, fighting each other.
The Saudis putting money into it, Qatar as well.
You got Qatar, you got Saudi. I mean, every Islamist faction is fighting each other. At what point do we just say, you know what? The next best thing to perfect tranquility is to have all of our enemies fighting each other with no good outcome. The last thing you want to do is involve us in an Islamic civil war where we'll tip the balance towards one side. We'll get nothing for it. We usually make it worse, and we get our troops killed with no defined mission. This is the enduring lesson of what we've been doing in the theater for years. So then yesterday, I hear the news that Obama's launching missile strikes against the Houthi rebels, the Iranian-backed Shia rebels in Yemen. And I'm thinking, so this is your hill to die on. So you're getting involved in the Yemeni dumpster fire, so to speak. You got Al-Qaeda, you got Saudi Arabia, and you got the Iranian-backed Shias fighting each other. There's no good outcome. There's no ground to be taken and held that will be in line with our national security interests. Yet, when it comes to a direct confrontation with the Big Daddy, with Iran itself, Obama not only sits there indifferently as they shoot at our ships, as they harass our ships, they downright confiscated the ship. humiliated the crew in what should have been an act of war, and he does nothing. So the only thing coherent about his foreign policy is it is exactly perfectly backwards.
And Daniel, it would be one thing if he were doing nothing towards Iran. I'm afraid that, as you've documented assiduously at Conservative Review, my colleague Fred Flights and others have as well elsewhere, we've been making concession after concession after concession to the Iranians, even to the point of violating some of the terms of the agreement, or at least allowing them to violate terms of the agreement. Talk a little bit more about what we now are seeing in terms of, well, it's being said, going back to Yemen just for a moment, perhaps we've enabled the Iranians to arm those Houthi rebels with missiles they've now used against our ships, thanks to that $1.7 billion in cash turned over to them as a ransom payment. But give us a flavor, Daniel. Now we're over a year on into this this sort of embrace of the mullahs by the Obama administration. How bad it is that we're not just sort of turning a blind eye to their aggressive behavior, but we're enabling it.
You know, I think the key word here is agreement versus alliance. You know, we call this Iran agreement, and it was pretty bad as constructed, as written, even the written words of it. There was no real accountability to it. But now what we're seeing is a downright alliance. He's openly defying the terms of the own agreement he forged. So, you know, the one of their big talking points was, we are only taking off the nuclear sanctions, not the sanctions for their ICBM program, not the sanctions for their human rights violations, and certainly the exportation of terrorism and their missileations, the hegemony in the region. And now he is perfectly aligned with them. So he's taken off those sanctions, will not enforce them, obviously has not enforced any of the sanctions on the banking system in Iran, which bankrolls the IRGC, run by Qasem Soleimani. And he is allowed to still to this day fly around with impunity to all sorts of theaters. And not only aren't we going after him, we are downright serving as the Shiite Air Force. So again, just to juxtapose the insanity of Obama's policy, he is putting our Air Force, our special ops, in danger to serve as the frontal guard for Iran in Iraq. Yet the only time he'll ever fight them is when the Muslim Brotherhood agenda for the Sunni Salafists will benefit from it. It's a perfect screwball. So in Syria, you even heard Hillary Clinton during one of the debates, well, Iran is there. Iran's in Syria. We can't let this stand. Iran's backing Assad. Well, if you attack Aleppo, then, you know, who do you think is going to benefit? All the Sunni Islamists. And, you know, coupled with Obama's actions in Yemen now, he's working. He somehow managed to perfectly sell out to Iran and perfectly sell out to Saudi Arabia at the same time.
Hey, Daniel, let me just ask you a speculative question, because I this is increasingly, you know, become an explanation for what is otherwise inexplicable, this behavior that is so completely at odds with American interests and security, for that matter. The president has made it known that he intends to raise $1 billion for his library and foundation and his post-presidential life. Do you think possibly he's just anticipating he's going to get some of this money back from the Iranians if he's as much their poodle as he appears to be?
I think there's two elements here. There is definitely a possibility for a Clinton Foundation 2.0. In other words, same deal. Leaves office just like Bill Clinton did, gets a bunch of money from either Saudis or in his case, it might be more the Shia Iranian money because of his special relationship with them. That's half of the equation. There's always the monetary incentive. That's what makes, you know, the world go around. But I think with Obama, even more so than the Clintons, who are just plain corrupt, there is more of an ideological bent to this. And I really believe that he's relatively young for a retired president. got a lot of years left, and I think he wants to make himself the president of the world, whether it's UN Secretary General or some ad hoc position like that, where he's respected by the international bureaucrats. There's no better way to build your legacy.
Why not? Well, we're going to talk more about what the president is doing to our part of the world in the next installment with Daniel Horowitz, which will come up right after this.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.